is good to be in God's house one more time. Amen. To sing praises to his high and holy name. Amen. Our coming together tonight is certainly indicative of the fact that we are interested in our soul's salvation and the salvation of others. Amen. I want to thank the leadership of this meeting, all of the preachers, would you stand, and all of the elders, I want to thank you again for inviting me. Would you stand, elders and deacons and leaders of the church? I want to thank you for inviting me to come to be a part of this revival meeting. God bless you. Ever was a time that we need unity in the church of Christ? That time is now. I'm pressing that all over the country. As we prepare to go into the 21st century with our ministry, we are preparing, and I'm working on it this week while I'm here. We're getting ready to build a website that will not only reach the United States, not only South America, not only Asia, Europe, but the entire world. And we are preparing to have our website so that people can go online daily and study the Bible, the Word of God, and listen to a message anytime you want to hear a message from the Word of God from a gospel preacher. Isn't that wonderful? So you pray for me that God will use me in a mighty way. We have been on television for the last 20 years or more, and our committee has learned that we can reach more people through the website than we can with our television ministry. So pray that God will use us in a mighty way. I'm preparing to go to the city of, tell me, Valerie. Yes. Yes. I have so many cities I'm going to, I have to ask my daughter. I'm going to Baltimore, Maryland in a few days, and we want to set that city on fire for God. I was listening to several members with the problems that they're having, and I changed my message tonight, and maybe we'll change it the next night. It's according to how you come. It's according to who's here. I don't believe in shooting at dead ducks. I want to shoot at live. And if the members of the church need more teaching, that's where I'm going. I have been preaching for 63 years, and just with one congregation for 55 years. We started with 9 members, and to date we have over 1,600 members, and the Lord has blessed us real good. And they support me, and I thank God for the things that they do for me. And I'm just praying that the Lord will give me more time to carry out more in the years to come at the Southside Church of Christ. Tonight we wish to speak to you on the subject, what to do when you have lost everything. As I listen to the members of the church around the country, we are supporting 3 or 4 congregations that have lost their buildings and have lost their houses. And there are members that are hurting now. And the president of our United States, we're going to have to pray for him, because the Congress is really giving him a time. But people are losing their jobs, losing their houses, and losing some of them their mind. And I want to speak to you tonight from Job, the first chapter. And we're going to notice the first verse. And we're going to give you at least 4 or 5 things that we need to do when we have lost everything. Let me see. On this left side, how many Bibles we have tonight? Let me see. The preachers all have that. Where's yours? He's taking the pictures. Bring your Bible. All right. Left side is fair. Let me see the right side. Very good. Now, some of you have those electronic Bibles. All right. That's good. Wonderful. Go to Job, the first chapter, the first verse. But somebody need to be saved tonight. It might be somebody that need the Lord. And in order for you to come to the Lord, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, the Spirit says what? Come. And the bride says come. Who's the bride? That's the church. So the Church of Christ tonight is inviting you to come. And how do you come? First, you must come by what? Hearing what? The gospel. What is the gospel? In fact, it's the what? Death. Come on. The burial and the resurrection of our Lord. And then you're not saved the moment that you hear. But you must believe what you have heard to the extent that you believe that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of the living God. And then you must what? Repent of your sins. Acts 17 and 30. And then you must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. Matthew 10, verse 32. And then you must what? Be baptized in what? Water. Why are you being baptized? For the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38 says, repent and what? Be baptized. How many? Every one of you. In whose name? In the name of Jesus Christ. What is it for? The remission of your sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And then when you are baptized, the Lord says in Acts 2:47, recorded by Luke, the Lord adds to a church daily. No, he adds to the church daily, such as what? Should be saved. All of the saved. I got to tell you that all of the saved, God adds them to his church. And he has but one church, and that's the church of Jesus Christ. I preach like that all over the world. And not too long ago, we had a Pentecostal preacher that heard me on the air. And he challenged me. Don't you challenge a Church of Christ preacher. We are worse than the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the Church of Christ preacher, we'll flee after you. But on the other hand, my friends, he challenged me. He had been a member of a church you can't read about in the Bible for years. And I pointed this out to him, and he came out of the Pentecostal church. And now Minister Gray is a member of the Church of Christ. And what our preachers need to do is stop holding back. Tell it just like it is. For people as they are, and people will come out of denominational churches, and they'll come out of the world. Now let's sing my song. I know you've been on your feet for several minutes, but this song kind of lifts me up. I'm so glad Jesus did what? Lifted me. Would you stand again, if you don't mind? I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad. So glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, Jesus, when I was burdened, oh, when I was burdened, yeah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yes, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yeah, Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was in trouble, yeah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was in trouble, yes, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was in trouble, yes, Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, Jesus lifted me. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah. Well, now I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus. Oh, I'm on my way because Jesus. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. If God has done something for your life, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Kindly be seated. There was a man from Uz. What was his name? He lived in the land of Uz. His name was Job. And that man was what? Y'all help me. He was perfect. And what else? And what else did he do? He feared God. And he cheweth evil. He avoided evil. That's the basis of our lesson tonight. What to do when you have lost everything? We're living in a materialistic world. And a physical world. And all of us stand in need of physical things. For we cannot matriculate in the world without finance and a little romance. Come on. But on the other hand, we need some material things. And God has given these things, as Paul said, for us to enjoy. And I try to enjoy what I have. Everything that I have, God has given it to me, and I want to enjoy. The brothers bought me a new Lexus not too long ago, and I just sit back and enjoy listening to the music. I enjoy that. You know, there are some people, they have sayings, and they don't want folk to touch those dishes. They don't want the children to sit on the couch. They don't want you to walk on that Persian rug. They have those sayings. But when they die, the children are going to come over and get on the couch and jump up and down and have a good time. But you better enjoy what you have right now. Because God has given us these things to enjoy. But we're not to trust in these things. Job was a man who had it made. And somebody said he was a righteous man. He was a perfect man. Why did all of these things happen to him? Well, sometime God allows the devil to take some things away from you so that he can teach you a lesson not to trust in things. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But to trust in God. The Bible tells us that he was perfect. And somebody said, I will become a Christian so I'll have no more problems. Well, let me tell you, you might be surprised, but that's when problems will commence to begin to start after you are born into the kingdom of God. And Paul said, all those that live, come on, godly, I'm trying to see if y'all know the Bible down here. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to talk about Paul tonight, and he had some physical problems, a thorn in the flesh. He had material things that he lost, but he said there was something greater than that. Well, I want to emphasize that the Bible says in Job 14, in one man that is born of a woman is of a what? And then what? Full of trouble. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have some trouble. And the devil is going to trouble you. And God will allow the devil to trouble you. But remember, God is still in control. Let me tell you, you can say you have it, and some folk boast that they have it. But you can have it today, and some folks say it can be gone tomorrow, but I don't agree with that. You can have it today, and it can be gone today. You can be up today, and you can be down today. You can have a house today, and it can be gone today. The floods haven't come. The hurricane hasn't come. But an earthquake may shake national cities, San Diego, and you can be out of that house overnight. Am I right about it? Am I speaking to you, or I'm just talking to myself? I see some of you don't respond, but that's all right. I'm going to preach anyhow. You can have your clothes today, and you can have your nice threads, and you can walk around and have on a nice dress from Saks Fifth Avenue, but you can lose it overnight. You can have money in your pocket today, and you can be broke today. Have any of y'all been broke? Some of y'all look like you're broke now, but anyway. I have been broke. And you look at the gospel preacher, he's always broke. Silver and gold have we none. But on the other hand, when you are blessed with things, you ought to thank God for it. But you don't know when these things will be taken away from you. Some people think that they can predict the future. They know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mrs. Cleo was on the television several years ago, and she claimed, tell Miss Cleo everything, and she can give you a prediction of your life. But seemingly, Miss Cleo didn't know that she would be kicked off the air herself. She should have predicted that. And there are some folk that go to the Seven Sisters from Louisiana and said, look at my lines in my hand and tell me if I'm going to find a tall, dark, handsome man. Yes, you'll find one. He's on the corner of Market and Imperial. And there will be those that go to the soothsayers and try to get news from them as to what's going to happen on the next day. A fellow once went to a fortune teller, and he said, do you know all? He said, yes. Can you tell me all? He said, yes, I know. He said, well, tell me my fortune. And he told him his fortune. And he says, now that will be $20. And he said, do you know all? He says, yes. And have you told me all? Yes. He said, then you should know that I don't have $20. But on the other hand, there are some people that trust in soothsayers. And there are some people who think that they can predict the future. All you need to read is Proverbs 27:1 that says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen even tonight. James 4:13, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? Your life is just like a vapor that appeared for a little time and then it vanishes away. So you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, I will do this and I will do that. Can you all say amen? Just bow your head if you can't say amen. If you agree with me, just say this. And if you can't do that, just grunt and say, I like to preach to a lively church. The Bible said we are lively stones, not dead stones. And so I'm going to talk about that later on. But we don't know what will happen on tomorrow. 1 Timothy 6:7 said, we brought nothing, come on, into this world. And it is certain that we will carry nothing out. That car that you have, you can't carry it out of here. That fur sable that you have and put on. You can't take it with you. I didn't know what a sable was till my wife, when I was in Detroit. I said, what can I bring back from Detroit to make you happy? She said, bring me a sable. And I didn't know what it was. And so I went with Sister Trone downtown Detroit, and I said, I want a sable. And the fellow had a lock here, and he had a lock there, and he opened it up, and he brought me out this sable, and I said, how much? $20,000. I said, take it back. I know what a sable is now. But my wife knew what it was. We brought nothing into this world. Our church is on Manchester, going towards Inglewood Cemetery, towards the Forum. And I have never seen a procession, a funeral procession, behind the hearse or U-Haul.
All right, yeah.
You can't carry nothing to the grave.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Right.
Naked you came here, and naked shall you return, Job said, and blessed be the name of the Lord. What we have and what we possess is really not ours. Everything that we have and we possess belong to God. Am I right about it? You didn't bring anything here. God allowed you to have that good job. He allowed you to have that good mind and go to the university and get your education and get a good job. But you didn't do that on your own. It came from God. Every good and perfect gift come from above, from the Father of light. For in him there is no variableness, neither a shadow of a turning. You ought to thank God when you have these things. But don't you trust in these things. What we have came from God, and we are just stewards of his possessions. You can have possessions, but don't let possessions possess you. You know, there are some folks that get possession, and you can't touch them with a 10-foot pole. They're so stuck up. God has blessed you. You ought to be humble. We'll get to that in 1 Timothy 6:17. But let me tell you, we brought nothing here. In Luke 12 and 15, God said, take heed. And any time the God of heaven says, take heed, you ought to take heed. He said, beware of covetousness. You know what that is? Being greedy. Beware of being greedy. Some people get jealous of other folk when God is blessing them. Well, you don't have to get jealous of that sister that has that nice dress on. You don't have to get jealous of that brother that's driving a nice automobile or has a nice house. Where's the nice houses here? East Lake. You don't have to get jealous. All you have to do is to go to work. And you can get the same thing. Am I right about it? Somebody said, I don't have any jealousy in my heart. But when that sister walks in and she has on that nice dress, then something turns in your heart. That's a little jealousy. Don't envy others when the Lord blessed them. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life does not consist with the things that you own or possess. What you need to realize, life is more than just a house and a car and clothing and etc. Note that our text says Job had it all. His religious ways was impeccable. He was blameless. He was complete. He was one that feared God and he turned away from evil. He had great wealth. 7 sons, 3 daughters. Had sheep and he had cattle. Had good transportation. But God allowed Satan, Satan says you got a hedge around him. I can't get to it because you blessed him so much. God said, I'm going to let you try him. But there's one thing that you can't do. You can't take his life. Take everything away from him. But don't you take his life. And you think you were having trouble now, you ought to read Job. Jesus said, remember, or rather, the Bible says, remember Job. You see, Job was a man that we can learn something from. He had it made, but God allowed Satan to take it away from him. One servant came in and said, Job, where your sons and daughters was having a banquet, a wind came up and blew down the house, and all of your sons and daughters, they are dead. And before that servant could finish, another one came in, said, Job, all of your cattle, the Sabines, the great Arabian tribe, have come up and taken all of your cattle. Woo, Job, you think you have trouble in a week, in a year? He had it in a few hours. Every time you look around, trouble was coming in the door with another message. But Job had faith in God. He didn't know why all of this was happening. His health was impaired. His breath was so horrible that it drove people from his presence. He had boils all over his head. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Let me tell you, when you're having your trouble, you better be careful who you talk to. Job had some friends, Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite. They came over and they said, Job, you must have done something so evil. That's the reason you're having trouble. And sometimes people will tell you that, what have you been doing? Did you throw a brick at a hearse when you were a little boy? You were having trouble all over. But you see, the devil, yes, will put things on you. But you got to have faith in God. His friends opposed him. I wish I had time to deal with all of that. Am I holding y'all too long? All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to go on and finish this in the next few minutes. You see, he had wealth. But you read the 42nd chapter or the 42nd division of Job, verse 12. You see, he came out all right. And you can come out all right too. This is a series of lessons that I brought several years ago. But I want to give you some points on what to do when you have lost everything. What can I do? Well, let's look at Job, the first chapter in verse 12. Some of us, when we have trouble, we leave the church. We blame the preacher. We blame the members. We blame others when we are having our problems and we get away from the church. And God is not hearing my prayers. Why should I serve him? Well, let me tell you one thing. God will always be with you when you stay with him. James said, when you are having your trouble, draw nearer to God and he will draw nearer to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, somebody said that the devil is always after me. Well, the reason he's after you is because you're running from him. What you have to do is to resist. Some people, I ain't going to say the second in King because there's some devils over there. Well, you leave 32nd King, go to 38 in Hemlock, you may have some big devils over there. And then you go over here, the Raven Street, you got some devils over there. You go here, you go there, you go everywhere. The devil is there. What you need to do, what you need to stop doing is running from the devil and resist the devil. In my 55 years of preaching, we've had some devils at Southside. And the devils can come in so nice. And the devil isn't coming in the church in a red suit, fork in his hand. He comes sometime in a three-piece suit. And sometimes the devil has a nice strut. The devil has a nice dress on. And come in all looking nice, switching down the aisle. High heel shoes, brand new wig on. Throw the hair around. And you say, come on in. That's a fine sister. She's the devil. But you got to learn that there are devils. Somebody said, Brother Backer, don't tell them that there are devils in the Church of Christ. Well, we might as well tell them now, because when they get in, they'll find out later. But the devils are in the church. I'm going to get out of the church because there's so many devils. Well, you better stay in here because salvation is in the Lord's church. 2 Timothy 2:10, I do all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so I stay in the church, even though the devil may be on the other side. When I say amen, the devil look at me and say, why are you saying amen? And there are some people that will make faces at you. Why are you disturbing me? There are devils that will talk about you. And when you're going through your trials and tribulation, they won't do you any good. But you stay with the church. You stay with the Lord. Don't you leave the Lord. And you must not fail to keep your faithfulness with God. What did Job do? Did he leave? He fell down on the ground. And he what? Worship God. That's when you need to get close to God. When you have lost everything. Worship God. Give him reverence. And give him praise. Because that same God that blessed you, he can also curse you. And if he curses you, he can also bless you. That same God that allowed Satan to take it away from you, that same God can give it back to you in abundance. I've had some devils to tell me. A lady got up in church one Sunday morning and she said, Backers, I want to tell you something. She interrupted the service. I have security there to sit them down. There are some brothers in the church that have the gift of casting out devils. And so we tell those who have that gift, when a devil comes in and disrupts the service, go do your job. Cast out devils. But I told her, I said, let her speak. And she said, Brother Backus, if you keep preaching, there's only one church, and salvation is just found in that one church, says you're going to die in 30 days. I said, is that right? Are you a prophet? She said, no, but that's been revealed to me. Well, I knew then. I turned to the book of Jeremiah and pointed out to her that there were false prophets. And later on, after 30 days, I was still living. And that's the proof. And then after that, 3 more years. Proof. She was a lying prophetess. And after 10 years, I'm getting fatter and fatter. Lying folk are in the church. And when you are having problems sometime, your enemies will beat vehemently. And all your enemies is not in denominational church. Not in the clubs. Some of them are sitting right on the same pew with you. Your enemies who are glad to see you are without anything. And you don't have any bread. You don't have any water. You can't pay your light bill. They are happy. They are rejoicing. But let me tell you, if you have God, keep on worshiping him. And Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I have not sinned against God. And don't you charge me foolish land. Stay with God. Second, when you have lost everything, you need to trust in God and give him the praise. Job was tested. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. How many of y'all can attest to that? Raise your hand. I got a witness tonight that God will make a way out of no way. And then don't you trust in uncertain riches. 1 Timothy 6:17. Paul told Timothy to tell the members of the church of Christ that money is all right. But he said, don't you trust. The love of money is the root of all evil. And many have pierced themselves with many sorrows. And many have left the faith because of money. And some people, as long as God is blessing them, they will serve him. But when they are without faith, they won't serve God. But you got to serve him at all times. He's not a God that you can turn him on like a faucet. Turn him on and turn him off. You must serve him at all times. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. Not to. Don't you be high-minded when you have arrived at that level. Don't you be high-minded. You got clothes. You got food in the house. Don't you be high-minded. Yes, you have shelter over your head. You have your retirement all laid up. You have your money in Bank of America. Bank of America may go broke. They're on their way. Am I right about it? You just boast. I got money in the Bank of America. Well, the Bank of America can go broke. Am I right about it? You can have it in all of your securities, but don't you trust in uncertain riches, but rather trust in the living God that giveth unto us all. That he's the one that gives to us. And that same God that you served for many years when you were in the cotton patch. Some of y'all act like you didn't pick any cotton. I won't ask you to raise your cotton picking hand tonight, but anyway, some of y'all were blessed to get out of the cotton patch and have a Cadillac. Am I right about it? And you ought to thank God that he brought you from the cane fields of Louisiana and brought you here to Southern California. But don't you trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God that gives everything to you. And then he says, not to worry. You see, when you've lost everything, don't you be filled with anxiety. Get for me as I'm closed. Matthew 6:25. I'm not through with this lesson, but I'm closing in a few minutes. What to do when you've lost everything? First of all, you got to remember that God will take care of you. When you have it, he'll take care of you. When you don't have it, he'll take care of you. When you have a car, he'll bless you. And when you don't have a car, he'll still bless you. What you got to do is to trust in God. If you're on your heels, he can bless you to get you some wheels. Am I right about it? God is in the blessing business. And he'll bless you if you just hold his unchanging hand. Listen to Matthew 6:25. Jesus is talking with this great Sermon on the Mount. Verse 25, what did he say? What I say unto you? Don't you worry. Don't you be filled with anxiety. Don't you take that dope because it won't give you any hope. Don't you drink. What are they drinking down here now? Cognac. And you think that all of your problems will be solved by you getting stoned, but just as soon as you get sober, it's still there. Am I right about it? Don't you go down to the discord and let your head out and kick out your boots because you are a child of God. Am I right about it? Soon as the music is over, you still have your problem. Don't you take any dope in your vein when you've lost everything. But you got to trust in God. Take no anxiety. Take no thought for tomorrow. Come on. What you should eat. Some of us eat too much anyhow. We miss one meal. It's, oh, Lord. I can't make it. Well, you need to fast as fat as you are. I mean, as heavy as you are. Can't miss a meal. You got to have three and a snack in between. We're the easiest people I ever met in my life here in this country. I've been in other countries. They're thankful if they got one meal a day. They're praising God. But when we lose our ability to have three meals a day and a sandwich in between, we are having a fit. Oh, the Lord is not blessing me. He's blessed you already. All you need to do is to trust in Him. Don't you trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Don't you worry about what you should eat or what you should drink. Come on.
Nor yet for what your body.
Yes, our clothes for your body, for your heavenly Father. He knows that you stand in need of these things even before you ask. But we got to learn when we are without things to ask our Father. Our Father owns everything. Am I right about it? He said, I'm depending upon Social Security. Well, you better stop depending upon Social Security. You better depend upon God. God is the one that supplies our needs. He used our government sometime and used these agents there, but He is the supplier. Go beyond the Congress. Go beyond the president. Go beyond your boss on the job. God will take care of you. He knows what you need even before you ask. But in Matthew 7:7, He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I like the translation that says, keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. He may not come when you want it, but it's right on time. Can you all say amen? Don't you put God on a time clock and say, I want you to bless me in the next 24 hours. Well, He can do it, but you got to wait on God. And God will hear and answer your prayer. But in verse 33, He says, seek ye first. I got to hurry to a conclusion. The kingdom of God and His what? And all of these things. What are these things? Material things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? Then you need to trust God that He will do what He says. When you're having your anxiety because you've lost everything, this is what He says in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You are casting them on the elder. And on me, there's a preacher. But you cast them upon the Lord because He cares for you. David said, I once have been young, but now I'm old. But I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will take care of His children. Fifth, you need to learn when you lost everything. Get for me Philippians 4:11. You need to learn how to adjust being without and remember God can supply your need. You have to learn that. It's not something that you obtain overnight. You got to learn when you can't have steak and lobster. You may have to have some bologna. and crackers. Uh-huh, and that's pretty good eating when you're really hungry. Uh-huh, you got to learn that you can't go to Saks Fifth Avenue now. You may have to go the Goodwill. God wants to bless us. And sometime we have to learn how to adjust with the environment that we're in until the blessings begin to flow where we want them to be. We got to learn to be without. Some of us haven't lived outdoors. But you got to learn sometime you may be outdoors. That's the reason they said get you a kit to prepare yourself to survive. How many of y'all got a kit to survive? Now to see the rest of y'all will be outdoors depending on me. Get you a kit. It may be a earthquake in San Diego. And you got to have you some water. Am I right about it? And you got to have some food. I said, I'm trying to get back to the church. Well, you ought to have some yourself. You see, you are the church. Am I right about it? So you have to learn when a situation arrives, you have to adjust to the situation. And Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in. I may not like this state. I may change this state. I may be blessed with a job. I may be blessed with an opportunity to increase my income. But while I'm in this one-room house, I'm not in on Hilltop anymore. I'm down in the valley. I don't have a Cadillac. I just got a bicycle now. I got to learn how to adjust in that state that I'm in. And you don't learn that overnight. Still trust in God. And then Paul said, listen, in verse 13, I got some power. I got some power. I can do all things through Christ who enables me. He will give you the ability to do great things because he has the power. And you got to have the faith in God. And then in verse number 19, he said, my God shall supply all of my needs. Why? Because he has riches in glory. I can attest to the fact I have been broke. I have been without. I've had to live on $5 a week. But God has brought me from nowhere to somewhere. And I can praise his name. Some things is better than having the world's goods. As I close, this world has material things. You can have cars. You can have houses. You can have land. You can have cattle. You can have gold. But there's something better than that. All these things are going to pass away. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. For this cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. The things that are seen, everything that you see, it is temporal. But the things you don't see, they are eternal. So I want to tell you tonight, there's something better than these material things. You may lose your clothes, lose your house, lose your car, lose your sweetheart, lose your wife, lose your husband. You may lose your children, lose your job, lose your friendship with others, lose your stock and bonds, and lose your position, and lose your money, and lose your relationship with those in higher authority, and lose your 501k. But don't you lose your soul. Your soul is more important than anything on the face of the earth. But Jesus said in Mark 6 and 34, what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and then lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul. You need God when you have it and when you don't have it. When you're broke and when you have money in your pocket, you need God. Hebrews 4:6, when you've lost everything and you have God. The Hebrew writer says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. When I need him, I know how to call on him. When I need him, I know how to approach my Father. When you're having your trials and tribulation, you may be looking to the right and looking to the left. And then you're looking down and you have your head bowed down. But what you need to do is to lift up your head. And David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. My help is coming from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. He'll not suffer my foot to be moved, but he that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by the night. The Lord will preserve you going out and coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. He reserved your soul. So what you need to do to put your hand in the hand of the man that can steal the waters in your life, put your hand in God. For he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men will do unto me. If you believe that, stand on your feet and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it one more time. Hallelujah. Our God is in the blessing business. He'll bless you once, he'll bless you twice, and he'll bless you all the days of your life. And when this life is all over, he said, come on home. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom of God prepared since the foundation of the world. I'm going to heaven one day. Heaven, the city built by God. Heaven, no more sorrow, no more trials, no more tribulation. I'll dwell with the riches in glory forever and ever. Ooh, I'm getting happy. Praise the Lord. Why don't you save him? Be in his church and let his blood cover you. And you keep walking in the light as he is in the light. You'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all of your sins. He's in the washing business. He'll cleanse you tonight. Come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and let him cover you and get in the church that is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one church that's covered with the blood of Jesus, and that's the church of God. Acts 20:27. Will you come? If you need prayer, like to place membership with a local congregation, come. Just come on if you need to be baptized. The water's ready. Clothes are ready. God is ready to receive. I think the song lead is ready. And we're going to sing, there's power. I'll hide you in the blood. Come on.